You know who he is. Lord of Lords. Say it. Lord of Lords. King of Kings. Prince of Peace. Wondrous One. Everlasting, eternal God, which was, which is, which is to come. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. Say it. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be his holy name. Come on. Blessed be his holy name. Come on. Blessed be his holy name. Come on. Blessed be his holy name. Not by might. Not by man's power. But by your spirit, says the Lord. Not by might. Not by power. By my spirit, says the Lord. Come on, say it. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. Prophesy, come on, say it. Not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You know, when you prophesy, a lot of times you'll say, says the Lord. God's given us scripture so we can prophesy. And God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter stood up 2,000 years ago and said, this is that outpouring. So where should we be today? Come on, where should we be today? Where should we be today? Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to lay your life down to do so. Jesus laid his life down. Once for all. That's all he had to do, one time. And yet every time we lay our life down, there he is with us. One time. But every single time someone lays down their life, there he is. Every single time someone takes up the cross, as he said, take up your cross, right? He said, take up my cross. My cross is your cross, and follow me. And every time someone comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there he is right there with you. The word says we are buried with him in baptism, and we are raised with him by the glory of the Father. And every single time that someone is baptized in water and in the Spirit, there he is with you, eternal. It was a one time, all needed, but it's an eternal experience. It's an eternal reality. And it bears witness. His coming, his wonders in the earth, his crucifixion on the cross, his death, his resurrection, continually and eternally bearing witness in us. We think of what a glorious, powerful, amazing day of God's love being poured out for his creation. And we think about that day. And you think about that day. How incredible was that day? Literally mind-boggling. How great was that day? And yet the power and the life and the reality of that day echoes throughout the earth every single day. Pick up your cross, my cross. Walk with me. Be raised again by the glory of the Father. Be raised with me. Be ascended on high. Can you follow me? We can. Yes, you can. Follow me. Be filled with the Spirit. For this purpose, he said, I came to do the will of the Father. Can we be the will of the Father? Jesus didn't just do it. He was and is the will of the Father. And if we can walk in the will of the Father, we walk pleasing in the sight of God, not by works, not by effort, not by sweat, but by faith. Not just in who he was, but in who he is. Who he is. Who he is. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's time we pull on heaven like never, ever before. The kingdom of God is within your grasp. The kingdom of God is within your grasp. He blessed us. He's left us with so much advantage, left us with so much grace, left us with so much mercy, so much peace. Can you feel it? Can you hear it? Can you see it? Do you know it? Can you show it? Don't blow it. Give him praise to his name. Come on. Give praise to his name. Give praise to his name beyond your feelings. You can take your seats. Give praise to him beyond your emotions. Give praise to him because he's so worthy of praise. And that's more than just a statement. He's worthy of praise. It is more, but do you see it as more than just a churchy statement or a religious statement? He is worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy. And that he is worthy of your praise is actually the reverse to the way we think about it. He made us worthy to praise him. He gave us the right to praise him. Something incredible is taking place today. I can feel an unusual something. Very dynamic. We're going to have an unusually dynamic week. Something very critical, very important, very lofty, very high. In the natural is going to be brought low. And something very exalted and worthy is going to be seen in its elevated state. And that's the glory of God's will in the earth. Something incredible is happening this week. Something beyond expectation. Something not planned. Something beyond what you're looking for. And now let me reinforce it with Scripture. He is able, willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all that you know to ask or think according, this is critical, according to the power that is at work within you. You know, we generally talk about in just about any church, just about any denomination, about something that across the board echoes throughout any believer, and that's the word faith. And I don't believe you can just take a word and build a religion or a belief around the word, but the revelation of the spirit of the word is something again. The revelation of the spirit of the word is something again. Someone can say something to you in a variety of spirits and with a different emphasis at the end of a statement. I like you? Implying, do I? As a question, or I like you. I do, but it's not that important. Kind of a relaxed, I like you, or I like you, with an emphasis, stressing the importance of your feeling towards someone. And faith is the same thing. Faith is very, very important, and our entire foundation is built on and around faith. So it seems as though we should know something more about something so critical and so important. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, count it all joy when your faith is called on. And a lot of people read that with the emphasis of difficulty, when the trying of your faith. And there are times that we walk in seasons that feel very difficult. There are trying times. And sometimes, anybody ever suffered in the house? Just a couple of you? That's awesome. Well, the rest of you, it'll come. Don't worry. It'll find you. When you come to know Christ, you suffer in the flesh. And that's a very, very good thing. Because it means what's creating your suffering begins to die. You know, even a virus doesn't want to die. A virus wants to propagate it. It wants to spread. Isn't that an evil little critter? A virus, it wants to spread. That's what it wants to do. And if it's thriving on the inside of you, you don't feel very well. But when it dies, you feel great. The nature of needing to know God by feeling is like a virus. And it can make you feel bad. It can make you suffer. It can make you feel sick. All suffering is not from the Lord. All suffering is not righteous and godly. A lot of suffering is brought on because of doubt and fear and the need to feel that God is working on your behalf. But the breeding ground of faith is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And it's really important that you hear what I'm saying today, because you're going to walk in it. And many of you are going to see it this week, and you are going to rejoice. And you're going to say, look and see what God is doing. Not what men can do, but what God and God alone can do. And if you have the eyes to see, you will see it. If you have the ears to hear, you will hear it. But this isn't an emotionally driven experience. Although expressions of God's glory through faith can be get you pretty excited. I can get pretty excited. But you have to know what it looks like in order to see it. I did it again the other day. I'm looking for cheese in the refrigerator. We got this delicious Gouda cheese. I don't know what is the best Gouda cheese I've ever had. Let's talk cheese for a minute. We went to this little market, and it's called Italy. Have you ever been there? Go, if you haven't been. Italy. And go to the cheese section and taste the cheese. It'd be one of the greatest days of your life. Unless you don't like cheese. Or you're lactose intolerant. Then it may be not one of the greatest days of your life. But we found this cheese. We brought it home. We sliced it. And we all said, it's the best Gouda I've ever had. I mean, it's just perfect Gouda. I don't know if our faith made it that good or we were that hungry, but it was just so good. So we cut it up. I cut it up, and we all had some and put it back in the fridge and a wrapper. And actually, I think my daughter, Lene, put it in the fridge. I went to look for it a little later, and I couldn't find it. I opened the drawer, and I looked where the cheese was supposed to be. I moved everything, and I pushed it back. I opened the next drawer, looked every place, couldn't find it, closed the drawer. Looked back, because I know it's got to be there, because my wife told me my daughter put it there, so it has to be there. So I look in both, all four drawers in the refrigerator at least 2 to 3 times. I just said, listen, Donna. It was so Gouda, it crawled away. I mean, it's just, it's gone. I know, that's terrible. Or it was so Gouda, somebody ate it all. But I know, it's so bad. So Donna walks over, she opens a drawer and says, here it is. And I stand there in wonderment and amazement, knowing, what kind of vision do you have that I don't? That it's so obvious to you that it's right there. But she knows that when she goes to look for it, she knows she's going to find it. She knows she does. Her faith is the only reason she can find it. She has real good of faith. And so she pulled it out and she said, here it is, honey. And in like literally 1001, 1002, it's in her hand. And I probably picked it up. No, I think it wasn't there. Now that I think about it, it was not there. Her faith made it materialize and it was there. Either way, she knows how to look for things in a way I obviously lack the capacity for. And she can see things that to me are absolutely, totally, and completely invisible, do not exist. But she finds it, and this happens all the time, more times than I really want to talk about. And I'll say, there it is again. And I'll say to her, how is it you find it? She said, I knew it was right there. I knew it was right there. I wasn't completely sure that it was there, and I couldn't find it. She knew it was there, and she can find it every time. And she has so much faith that when I can't find something, I know there's a little bit of joy she takes in knowing she's going to be able to walk there. And I think she sets her watch like, let's see if we can do it in less than 2 seconds this time. And sets her watch and goes, and there it is, and she finds it all the time. That reality pours over into faith and the things that God does and the things that we see. If you know you can find something, as humorous as that sounds, if you know you can find something, you're going to find it. It's called faith. And faith, again, it isn't a tool you pull out of your toolbox or off your tool belt or out of your pocket. Faith is a part of who God is. Every good and perfect gift, faith is a good gift. God told you to use faith. Why? Because he's given it to you. He told you to believe, have faith in God. He would never tell you to exercise something that he hadn't given you. And if God tells you to do it, it's a good thing, and you have plenty of it. You have an overabundance of it. You have exactly all that you need, and God always does as he is, abundant. It's always more, and it's always there all the time, every minute of every day. And your faith is able and will interpret any situation as seeing God in the middle of it if you don't allow your emotions, which is the mind of the flesh, to tell you that it's something different. But that requires having faith in the Word of God. Faith has two sides, two realities, invisible and visible. When God spoke to Abraham, he said to him, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you a son. And this son is going to be many nations. And Abraham, the word says, he believed God. And Abraham's faith for a period of time was called the righteousness of God, but he couldn't see it. It was invisible. And his faith, he was honored by his faith as righteousness. His faith became righteous, but for a period of time, he didn't see his faith. But the word described his receptiveness to the word of God as faith in God. Abraham believed God. It's what I say to you all the time. There's really only one thing you have to do. It isn't that complicated. Believe God. if he said it, believe that it is as he said it, regardless of what your emotions see, because sometimes you're not going to find the Gouda cheese where it is, even though it is really Gouda and you like it and it's there. It doesn't matter. No matter how much of God you say you believe, if you don't see it, you have to rely upon something that is the true foundation of your existence and the purpose in our existence, and that's faith in His Word. Believe God. Prophecy is essential. That's why God said, in the latter days, Peter declared we are in a latter day time when he said this is that, because what Joel prophesied, he was the first one that said, in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the day referred to as the day of Pentecost in the upper room, and it spread throughout the regions, and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized into something they didn't really even know about. At one point, an individual says, we didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. How do we get it? Be baptized and be filled, word of prophecy, according to the will and the word of the Lord. You are word prophecy bound. Your future is wrapped all around, inside and out, in the word of the Lord. The word of God is prophecy. The word says he created everything without anything. And you don't just have faith that belongs to you. You have faith that belongs to God. It is the faith of God, not just faith in God. Where did you get such dynamic reality in your heart to believe something as a reality? When, in fact, there isn't anything on the outside that tells you that it truly exists. And yet, when you believe God, you believe in Jesus Christ as the one and only way to the Father. How else would you get there? What would be the bridge? What would be the rope? What would be the ladder to get you there? Certainly not works. We know that our own mind would condemn us. Your own memory of past sin would condemn you. It would make you unworthy. You'd fall off the ladder. You'd let go of the rope. You'd jump off the bridge. He is the way. He is the only bridge. He is the only path. He is the only rope. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And He is present with us. And the Word says that He lives in us through faith in Him. And I find that pretty amazing. He lives in us through faith in Him. Now, faith in Him dictates something we need to realize. Faith in Him means I don't have to see it happen the way I want it to. As a matter of fact, if it's faith in Him, I have to discount my value of expectation and know that He's going to exceed it by the abundance of His grace and His mercy. In other words, God is so God. He's so grand. You can't ask Him to do something that He doesn't affect the change that you ask for. But it's always going to be beyond what you ask. And that's what He said. I will do more than you know to even ask for or to think, because God is the one that has given you faith for a very specific reason, and that reason is to know Him as He is. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, and I'm prophesying to you today, and you need to hear me. It's important for you to hear what I have to say to you today. Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Why? To be mature, or come to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? So that we are no longer tossed to and fro like children and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, wind of doctrine doesn't just mean a teaching. It means an idea that comes into your head that says God isn't moving upon my behalf, or I ask God and it's not happening. There isn't a time, not one single time in your life, that you express or exercise or use, if you will, your faith, which is the faith of God in you. It's a gift from God, not a tool. It's part of His nature, His character, His spirit, His reality, and He expressed it when He created the world. By faith we understand. Now, not just by faith we understand, but we understand that by faith God created the heavens and the earth. Not just by faith we understand, but by faith God created the heavens, the earth, and we understand that. Because listen to the rest of it. He created all things without seeing anything, and the evidence of what He created was profound. The Word says, only a fool looks up and says there is no God. And the Word says, the heavens declare His glory. So I've said to you many times, I look out at the sky and say, I see the glory of the Lord. I'm speaking the Word. And I know that I see the glory of the Lord. Maybe I don't see what I'm looking for or hoping for or waiting for or wishing for. So I just said, I stop waiting. And I start wading, as in a pool of water, baptized in the glory of the Lord from faith to faith and from glory to glory. There is invisible faith when you pray, you believe, you ask, you seek, maybe you fast, maybe you wonder why. And that faith is invisible, but it does not mean that it is not effective, active, and producing something. The moment that you act on faith, you hear the Word and you believe it by faith, your heart is receptive to what God has said. Something instantly, not down the road, something instantly took place. When Abraham believed God, the Scriptures say instantly, and his faith became his righteousness. It was counted to him. How long down? No, not how long. Now. You've heard the preacher say, now faith is. And it's true. Faith is right the moment. Because faith is without the natural evidence or impression of emotions. Faith is the word of God's command. It is God in essence. Faith in His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Same was in the beginning. That's God. You see, God. So you didn't just act on a tool in your pouch to try and get God to do something. You responded to the very nature of who God is, and His Word is God, and His name will be called the Word of God. His name. And Jesus gave us such an avenue and a venue in the world to see the expression of God through you by the gift God has given you, which is your faith. Break it down real simple. You can do anything. You can ask God anything, and it pleases Him to do, pleases Him. He's not pleasing you. God isn't interested in pleasing man, because then you would never see Him. It pleases Him. So He can share who He is with you, which is so far beyond our needs. If we got our needs met, and that was how we saw God manifest Himself to us, we'd all get bored, disillusioned, disappointed, weak, and die. It would be like a plant that is just saturated with water every day and has no need, is not required that its roots go deep down. When a heavy rain came, it would be washed out. When the wind blew, it would fall over like tumbleweeds. You ever see tumbleweeds rolling around? A lot of people want to have tumbleweed faith. I ask God, do it, and if you don't, you didn't answer me. Yes, He answered you. You just aren't, you don't know what the Gouda looks like. You don't know where it is. You can't find it, even though you're looking it dead in the face. Gouda doesn't have a face, by the way. Unless you make a little face with it. But the reality is, we're in a reality right now, and this coming week, something incredible and profound is going to take place in the heavens of God, and it's going to pour out into the earth, and we need to be aware. God is doing something incredible. Now, when you exercise, as it were, you express your faith in the Word of God and in expectation, you get to be a part of that experience that is going to take place. Every time you express your faith, you use your faith, you exercise your faith, you demonstrate your faith, God has immediately, by His nature, acted upon the faith He has put in you, because it is His will to answer you because it pleases Him. And when it pleases Him, it isn't that God is up in the heavens saying, I need you to make me feel good today. Do something that makes me happy. Do something that pleases me. He is the fullness of all things. Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Father and was in bodily form. What He's saying is, I want to share. I want to reveal. I want to embody you by my word, my will, my wisdom, my joy, my peace, my love, my presence, my power. The Word makes it very clear that He inhabits us through our faith in Christ. Christ is the door. He's how we get there. He is the way. It's how we find ourselves, mapping ourselves in the direction. But God has given us an incredible gift called life, existence, reality, opportunity. We would like to be able to live places and times where we didn't have to use our faith so much to meet our needs, but faith isn't there to meet your needs. God says when you pray, you don't receive because you don't pray, and when you do pray, you say it all wrong. Because what you're asking for is something that can be consumed upon your own lustful desires, and you pray amiss. And He taught us, He said, pray. You want to seek something, seek the kingdom of God, because everything you want is too little. But everything I have is far beyond. And if you receive my kingdom, which is manifest on the inside of you, I can demonstrate that kingdom, and you will watch the Word of God being fulfilled, because faith has an invisible reality. The Word calls it, God says, God made visible and invisible realities. And faith is the only true reality. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is the substance, it's the evidence, it's the conviction of things hoped for. And faith has another side, two parts. The visible part. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. But he didn't see his righteousness because it's kind of hard to see. Invisible, but that's what God gave him, because that's what gave him the visible. And then there was a season where Sarah, his wife, bore a seed, and they called his name Isaac. Your faith will bear witness to the evidence of the visible. Your faith will produce something that is tangible in both realities, this one and the kingdom of God. But every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. So our first presentation, the first presentation of your faith is a spiritual reality. You believe God, and that begins to do something on the inside of you. It begins to till the soil of your heart, because you want, in essence, God to do something. You want something that you're looking for to come from God. Maybe you only want it because you see no other way. The best way to seek God is to seek Him for who He is, understanding that within the kingdom of who God is, within the mind of God, you have sufficiency of all things. I've been young, I've been old, I yet see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. The young lion, even the young lion, hungers and thirsts, but they that wait upon the Lord lack no good thing. I will withhold no good thing from you. See, in order to understand the word or even specifics of the word, specific scriptures, you need to understand the character, the nature, the love of God, or you can misinterpret a great deal, a great many things, and think that what God has promised does not exist for you or didn't happen for you, when in reality, the heartbeat of what it is took place the moment you asked God and believed God. I did it by faith, and God did it. And he begins to dig in the soil of your heart. He tills the soil of your heart. He digs in the, what's that stuff called? Soil of your heart. Because he wants to plant a seed. You were brilliant. So he, what is that thing? What is that thing he does to the soil? Tills the soil of your heart. So he can plant a seed. Now, where's God going to plant a seed? Jesus gives us an analogy. The word says, kingdom of God is like this. It is like an owner of the field, called a husbandman back then, the husband of the field, the vineyard, grapevines. And there was a tree, and the tree was a fig tree, and it was planted in the grapevine or in the vineyard. And why would you plant a fig tree in a vineyard? Well, for a lot of reasons, actually. But the word says that the owner came to the tree and he said to the tender, the gardener, the guy that took care of the vineyard. Thank you. Brilliant twice. And he said, you know, I've come to this tree 3 times now, and there's never any figs on it. He said, cut it down. It's taking up room, space in the ground. Well, it couldn't have taken up a lot of space. There's one tree in a vineyard. And the vine dresser said, can we do this? Give me one more year. You're going to get what you want. Give me one more year, because I'm going to till the, so the fig tree bears what you're looking for, bears fruit. Now, just a little history about a fig tree. The reason they would plant it in a vineyard was a number of reasons. Number one, it was shade for the workers. Hot, you climb under the tree, you cool down. But number two, it was a barometer for the vineyard, because it told you the condition of the soil based on its condition. And it was very hardy, very tenacious, strong roots. But if it's not bearing fruit, it's not telling you anything. It's there to speak to you. It also bears fruit. It bears fruit. The birds love to eat, and bugs love to eat grapes. But birds especially love to eat grapes. But figs are easier to get to. They have bigger seeds. They like it more. So if you can keep the birds from eating your grapes, which is really what the vineyard is about, they'll go to the tree. But then the tree also has an alluring sense that causes the right types of bugs to come, insects that pollinate, pollinating wasps. And so the tree served many purposes in the garden, but it wasn't doing its job. So it was taking up a space in the ground. It wasn't telling them any soil conditions. It wasn't providing a draw, an alluring for pestilence, or not pestilence, but for bees to come and pollinate, the different types of insects. It wasn't doing its job. So it was affecting the entire vineyard, that one tree, and in a negative way. wasn't just that he wanted to eat the fruit. He knew what the fruit on the tree represented. It represented a watchman. It represented productivity. It meant that that vineyard was going to produce more if that tree in the garden had something to be eaten from. God did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. He put a tree in the middle of it and he said, I want you to eat of this tree, and this is life. Then God called us the planting of the Lord. We are called in scriptures trees planted by rivers of living water that bear fruit in their season. Now, this was not the fig tree that wasn't in season that Jesus cursed. This is the fig tree in season because grapes and figs bear fruit at the same time. They bloom at the same time. But you don't see any flowers, any blossoms on the fig tree. So there aren't any, right? Wrong. The figs inside are the flowers. The seeds are the flowers. And it's the invisible that gives life to the visible. It's that invisible dynamic in you that is going to produce the visible realities that bear witness. Your faith will bear witness of proof that the thing exists in both realities, the earth and the heavens. But you have to bear witness to the heavenly, which means when you believe by God, you need to know in your heart and in your mind, you just walked in the fullness of His Word regarding faith. You believed God, and the faith you used to believe Him was the gift He gave you of His own nature to see a reality that you couldn't touch or smell or taste or see, but it exists all the more. It exists just the same. And it elevates you. It cultivates and tills the soil of your heart so God can put seed in you that didn't exist before because He's elevated the cultivation of that soil. The gardener knew that. He knew we need to do something to the soil that hasn't been done yet so the tree can produce what it's not producing. It's capable. It's there. It's in the right place at the right time. But it's not producing. So we need to till the soil and we need to fertilize it. And that's James. It's the trying of your heart when you look and see, my eyes don't see, but my faith does. See, God knows. He has faith in you. He knows what you're capable of because He's given it to you. But do you? He knows He answers you when you express your faith, but do you? Because it's taking place, but if you can't see it in the kingdom of God first, God, I spoke, I believed, I acted, I poured out, I poured in. Whatever it is you did by faith. I spoke by faith immediately. God has to act upon His word because faith is the law of God. It's not by works, but by the law of faith. The law of faith. The law of faith is what it's about. It's about the law. And the law is faith. See, it's always been about the law, but not the law of the writing of commandments. But the Word says that was a step towards you knowing and understanding how to think about God, how to walk towards God, how to act upon something that He said. And the commandments of God didn't disappear, but the Word says it could not be that you were saved because you kept a commandment. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It had to be that you saw God in His commandment, in His word, by faith. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, what's wrong with that if you do it? Well, number one, you won't. Number two, you can't. You can't do the works of God without the Spirit of God working through you by the faith of God that He's given you to believe what God said is the way it is when your eyes can't see. And that is the dominion God gave Adam and Eve in the garden. Take only this tree, touch only this tree, eat only this tree, that tree leave alone. Believe God. The misconception of the world is we don't have it yet. I don't see it. Yes, you do. The moment you acted upon what God said, He began to do something on the inside of you, and He made you something on the inside that allowed Him to do what pleases Him, which is to plant a seed of His Word in your heart that you wouldn't have been able to have believed until He cultivated the soil just exactly like the fig tree. Let's dig around it. We won't see anything this year. But something is happening. The minute that I stick the spade in the dirt, the minute I stick the shovel in there, the minute I begin to till it, oxygen begins to flood those roots. Things begin to happen. There is energy, there is life in the roots, and you wake them up and you stir them up and you cause them to activate. Count it all joy when the spade is put to your heart. That's how the exceedingly abundant beyond you all you know to ask or think takes place. Until you have nothing to rely upon except your faith in His Word. Now I'm not talking about the casual believer that just lives life and someday goes to sleep and wakes up in glory. I'm talking about someone that wants to affect the change in the world that you live in. Someone wants to bear fruit, bear a witness that Jesus Christ is Lord of me. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That is the reality of going from glory to glory and from faith to faith until we all, that's the body, attain to the unity of the faith. Of what? Of the knowledge. Of what? The Son of God. So what? So you become mature to the measure, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. You can't get there by saying, I'm only human and I'm not perfect. No one thinks you're any more than human, and no one, trust me, thinks you're perfect. I never met anyone. I went, oh my God, you're perfect. And when they said, I'm not perfect, I went, you've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? Are you trying to convince me that you're not perfect? I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. I thought you were. But the Word says, but we are perfect in Him. Word complete, the Greek word perfect. We are complete, we are perfect in Him, who is the head, the authority of all things. He's beyond you. He excels you. He exceeds you. He's so far beyond what you can't do, it just doesn't matter how much you can't do. And we're so incapable by the sense of chemistry to detect the spiritual dynamics and glory and majesty of God that it's impossible for you to see Him at work. But your faith is a different thing because that is God at work in you. And your faith can draw virtue from the presence of the Lord. Your faith can take an impossible thing and turn it into a reality. You can be in pain, filled with sorrow, dread, remorse, sadness, confused. And faith that just says, I believe God. I believe He's always with me. He's never left me. So if He is all things and He's never left me, what can leave you? So then faith becomes the substance or the conviction or the evidence of things hoped for. And it becomes the profound reality of things that you could not see. In other words, things around you begin to take on the nature of your faith, which is God's gift to you, to experience His reality. So God begins to invade this world. Not with possibility, not with probability, but by promise. And that's a big deal. It means this present existence begins to take on the reality of the kingdom of God. But you can't get there by saying, I'm only human. Well, then die. Lay your life down with Christ and be born again. Take on the nature of Jesus, because I can promise you He's far more than human. I'm not perfect. I'm sorry that you are so deceived in thinking that someone may be confused and think that you are. But putting that all aside, just realize He is, and it is He that lives and not I. So it is the confession of our faith that elevates the standard of our reality. According to your faith, be it unto you. All things are possible, but more than you know. He is willing and able to do exceeding abundant and beyond all you could ask or think. Not God over all, but God in all. He is over all. He is over all. Jesus could say, man was meant for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. But man couldn't say that, see? Because you broke the law, you broke the law. And there was a penalty for the law. But Jesus could say, on the Sabbath day, we're going to heal. On the Sabbath day, we're going to do good. Because He supersedes. He is far beyond. He is exceeding, abundant. He is the reality of every spoken word, every law that gives us insight to the nature of who He is. But it is not the profound reality of Him working in us, looking at the law. But the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is the profound reality of God in us. And not just God on the outside. But He is omnipresent everywhere, inside and outside. But He is manifest through the faith that He has given you. That's God. Do you see? Your faith is God. Faith in God is God. What else could it be? Where else did it come from? And what is its purpose? Till we all come into the unity of what? The knowledge of who He is in us. And if your faith sees it, your faith makes an attachment to it. The secret, the invisible things belong to God. Deuteronomy 29:29. But those things which are revealed now belong to you. And the Holy Spirit is seeking the deep things of God, saying, I'm going to show you something. There's going to be so far beyond you. The years may tell you it's not going to happen, just like with Abraham. People around you, your present reality, your job, your income, your upbringing, may deny the reality of this great vision God has given you, but nonetheless, it is the true reality of God, because the Word declares if you can see and believe God in it, you will have it. It belongs to you. We have to believe beyond a world that we have to fight in to get somewhere. That we have to die in order to see God. Enoch saw God. He didn't die. Elijah saw God. He didn't die. Paul said, 14 years ago, I had this experience, and I don't know if I was in my body or if I was out of my body. Do you understand? God is not limited by time or your issues or your non-realities. But Paul made something very clear. He said, do not be double-minded. Do not vacillate between two independent decisions, but come into a unified understanding of faith. He said, those that vacillate between two opinions are two-tongued, two-souled. They're not unified with the singularity of God. They're a divided individual in their minds. And God cannot do anything with that because God is not divided. God is singular in who He is, in His will, in His purpose, in His righteousness, in His love. So we cannot continue to give credit to the devil if you are delivered from him. And if he's involved in your life in any way, it doesn't matter what he wants to do, then you need to be born of the Spirit so you can be free of his influence. That takes double-mindedness out of the way. What do I mean? I'd be happy to explain. I am said, made free. There is no evil that comes by my dwelling. He came to destroy he that had the power of death and sin, and that is the devil. And he has freed me. And whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Okay, we stick to that. That is being single-minded. When you say, but the devil is trying to, you became double-minded. What do you know about what the devil's trying to do when we're only supposed to know what God is doing? You need to know what he's doing so you can be free of him. Then it's on you to be free of him. I don't know what all I was forgiven for. I have no idea. But I was forgiven for it all. And I don't have to remember in order to be forgiven. He took it on the cross, and not only did he become victorious, but what he really did on the cross is he purged your consciousness from sin. Doesn't mean you can't remember it. It means you realize it has no bearing on your life at all because Jesus paid for it all. You wouldn't even know what sin was if the law didn't tell you what it was. And God said, so now what I'm doing is cleansing your consciousness as though you had never committed anything. So we have to give up the devil. I know, church, it's a hard thing to do, but you got to give him up like a bad habit. You just have to give him up. Okay. Number two, you have to stop making the assumption that you're only human, and you have to come away from the illusion that someone may think you're perfect. But you need to realize that it's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you, and that's the faith of a spiritual reality, and that's the reality that faith gives you. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ now lives in me, and the life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That's what the Word's talking about, coming into maturity, to the fullness of God. In other words, this is not about me, it's about who He is. And when we do, and as we do, our worship is going to become totally different. It's going to be all about Him, and not just what He did for you, because He's not your servant, He's your Lord, He's your God, He's your King, He is the Righteous One, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord over all, in all, and through all. And to Him be glory, honor, and praise. And the presence of the Lord will sweep within the worship of God, and we will become more thankful and praiseful. And it is in the heart of gratefulness and thanksgiving that praise is birthed and worship is birthed. You can't worship and you can't praise. You can say the words, but your spirit, God seeks for true worshipers. And they that worship Him in spirit. And you can't worship Him in spirit if you're all caught up in all these things. Your faith says this is the real reality. This is who He is. And it is very true. There are a lot of things you'll never deliver yourself from, you'll never get free of until Christ indwells you and you take on this mature attitude you don't have to work for. All you do is one simple thing, believe God. You acknowledge Him in all your ways and He directs your path. The Word says it's so simple a child could do it. Not an educated individual, not someone that has learned so much from life and has all these life experiences, but someone as the simplicity of the faith of a child says, I believe God. Women wish the issue of blood. We have no idea where she was in her heart or her mind in regard to her past. But the moment she saw Christ, all she could see was virtue and glory and health and healing and strength and power. And her faith told her, go and touch the hem of his garment and you will be made whole. And she responded to the faith God gave her to do so. And when she did, the very power, the very virtue of Christ went through his garment into her body, and she was made whole. Bartimaeus did the same thing. The centurion soldier did exactly the same thing. There's no distance, there's no time in God's response. He said, speak the word only, I believe. And Jesus said, that's what I'm talking about. That kind of faith. The right here, right now, today, God is present with you in his fullness. And what do you think that will turn our world into? The word says that he has made us a kingdom unto himself and priests unto our God. He did it. And he knows it. But do you? Paul said, a two-souled individual is unstable in all their ways. Let not that, old King James, let not that person think they will receive anything from God. Not that he doesn't want to do it. Not that he's angry at you. But he just can't because he's not divine. What do you mean God can't? Well, bring up a scripture. And Jesus could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Because God has given you dominion in the earth and set the stage and the platform. This is a place, this is the dimension of faith in God and God alone. And if God be for you, who and what can be against you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you believe it. Something most incredible is taking place today. I feel heaven in my grasp. I am aware of the anointing and the presence of the Lord. So what do we learn about faith? Well, it has two sides, visible and invisible. And the first onset of that reality of your faith is invisible. You speak to a spirit. God is not a man, but a spirit, which you cannot see, cannot touch, cannot hear with all the chemistry and the system feedback. You don't. But something on the inside says, your presence. That's called the glory of the Lord. And we beholding that glory. When? Today. Today we beholding the glory of the Lord. How do I see it? By faith. I see him. I praise him. Think of the Psalms of David. Old Testament, and here we have New Covenant. How these men spoke about God and his presence and his glory and his mercy and his grace. And God, you're right here, right now, to give me victory over my enemies. You're the Lord that reigns. You're the Lord. And lay that, talk about laying their life on the line by faith. These patriarchs knew what that meant. And today, religion teaches you well. If you don't see it, make it up. And if you don't give it, find yourself a nemesis. Find yourself someone, a scapegoat to blame. Typically, that's the devil. But Jesus said, you should blame me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You should say, all things work together to good to them who love him, who are the called according to the purpose, his purpose. That's me. You should say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want any good thing. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. That's why your rod, your staff of direction, correction, instruction, they comfort me. I like it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and to me they're not an enemy anymore because you are with me. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. There my cup runs over. You anoint my head with oil. Only goodness and mercy, only good can happen to me. And I will dwell in the house, the presence, the glory, the favor of the Lord now and forever. Have a heart after God. He is the one, the number one, the first place one. He's not going to explain everything to you because that would be Him making you Lord over your life. He is Lord over your life. What He asks you to do, what He tells you to do, is trust Him. And know in all things God is glorified. In all things there is purpose. In all things there is a dimension of His will, the dimension of His favor. And then faith wondrously takes on a tangible form. And the first indication of that tangible form is Christ in you. You are changed. You put off the old man. You are renewed in hope. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old is past and the new is come. Your mind begins to change. God leads you into a place, takes you into a time and says, I'm going to do wonders here. But the soil needs something it hasn't had yet, so let's till the soil. James calls it the trying of your faith. Trust me, you're going to like it. It's going to do you well. Don't fight it. Don't call it the devil. Don't call it evil. Call it God. Call it good. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want. You lead me in the way I should go. You never leave me. You never forsake me. You're with me always. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. God, you're with me in favor, honor, glory. And you become the first evident. You become the witness, the first proof. Your faith bears witness to reality that becomes visible. And that is you, changed, transformed. You can overcome things you couldn't overcome. You lose desires that are not right, that destroy you, that rob you, and you gain a heartbeat and a desire and a yearning for the kingdom of God. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs after you. And He quenches your thirst and He quenches your hunger and He becomes your bread of life. And you say, I don't need an explanation. I just know. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And you will be glorified in it. And as I believe you in it, I'll enjoy it all as well. The pain will go, the heartache will go, the weight lifts off, your burden goes, and joy and peace comes. He's called the Prince of Peace. Mighty God, the wondrous one. Your faith has brought you to this point in time. Faith has elevated you. Faith has made you soil, so seed that has never been introduced to you will be introduced to you. And evidence becomes evident. Your faith takes on the form of evidence. And God can do through your faith. Not the faith of your forefathers. Not the faith of your grandparents. Not the faith of your parents. But the faith of God in you. Singular, personal, unique to you. God will do wondrous things this week through you. This is an enveloped time of the presence of the Lord. The glory of the Lord, the word says, fills the whole earth. His word runs through the earth. It is covered in His glory. It is covered in His word. It is covered in His presence. It is clothed in His glory and His power. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. God will bring the sword. God is judge. God is Lord, and He alone. He'll judge the righteous from the unrighteous. It's not our job. Our job is to bear witness to the faith of God that dwells in us. You will see trees bear fruit that have never borne fruit before. You will recognize trees in your garden that you didn't even know were there. Trees in your vineyard you didn't even know they were there, because they bore no fruit that was desirable to eat. But it is. And it will make the witness and bear the witness that it is. And all of nature will cooperate with the will of the Father. If a deterrent is necessary, the tree, as it is in the vineyard, will become the deterrent. It will draw in all necessary pollination creatures to make your vineyard flourish. Don't despise the correction, the chastening, the direction, the insight, the instruction of the Lord. His SWAT is loving. His correction is wise. His instruction is empowering. And the fruit is eternal. He is God with us. The Lord great and mighty. He which was, which is to come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now and forever. Everybody shouted. Yeah. Oh yeah. I see a gathering of influential people. People in the world of theatrics and creativity. People within government. People associated. I see a coming together, a collective body who are hungry for God. They rise from their positions of influence and authority, and they surrender themselves to the glory of God. And they come together united, and they begin to pray and to seek God and worship, and not for just one day. I see an awakening to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See, there was an outpour of the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, that's still here today, just as profound, just as powerful as it was in the day of Pentecost. Interestingly enough, though, it is recorded that only those in the upper room received the Holy Spirit. Now, why would that be? Because they were the ones that heard the word of the Lord and responded by faith to gather in preparation for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Simply said, because they heard God say, "Go and receive. This is the day." And when they begin to propagate the gospel of the outfilling, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when some said, "We didn't even know there was," and they applied those that did not know their faith to knowing and being filled, they too were filled with the Holy Spirit from on high. So we, being filled with the Holy Spirit, make known that this is that day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so they too cannot anticipate and wait for a day of the outpouring, when that day is here. Just as Peter said, Judeans, Galileans, don't you know this is that which was prophesied by Joel, saying, in that day, there will be an outpouring of my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And on my people, my servants, my handmaiden, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And then Peter stands up and said, this is that. What a bold spirit. The word says the Spirit came upon him. In boldness he stood up and he declared, this is that day. This is that day to declare. This is that day. This is the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from on high. So be filled and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit from on high. Be outpoured upon and into and through by His glorious Spirit. Bear witness to the grace and to the glory and to the maturity and to the fullness of God. And when they see what you cannot see, because you have believed God by faith, they will see the Spirit of God that witnesses in you. For the Lord will open their eyes, even as He did to the servants prophet, or to the prophet's servant, when he said, open your eyes and see, there are more with us than there are with them. God will make our spirits, the body of Christ, the influence of the nations for generations. God will be glorified in His body. And those of power and influence will worship and join us in worship. As a matter of fact, many will see the void in worship and will assemble themselves together, saying, since we have not been asked, let us invite ourselves to worship the Lord. You will see this come to pass. From the White House to the wilderness, to the four corners of the world, God is glorified. Today, this is that outpouring, the onset of the beginning of this week, is the word that it begins. Have an ear to hear and an eye to see. What will God pour through you? Pour out. Create a high-low pressure system so the wind of the Spirit will blow into you. Empty yourself out before the Lord. Don't be so full of yourself. Where does this boasting come? God will bring you by your faith to a place where you don't boast in what you have or what you've done or where you've been or who you are or what you've accomplished or how wise you are. This boasting is not of God, but your faith will bring you to the place where you can become mature and full and complete, lacking nothing, that God can pour into the soil of you that He has tilled by His Word, His will, and His Spirit. So that tree in that soil that needed that attention that only faith brings, the tilling of your heart to produce the fruit that balances the vineyard and gives it strength and direction and fullness. And it is the best there is because of the tree of life that is then the vineyard. The wine of the Spirit is poured out on this generation. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Glory be to His name. Great is God.